Welcome to episode 12 of Bedtime Stories for Grown-Ups, a podcast that is created from the stuff of dreams. Once upon a time, if you were lucky, someone told you bedtime stories. Maybe someone read you books, or the same favorite book over and over. Or maybe someone made up your bedtime stories, telling you nonsensical things until you closed your eyes and let sleep take you away. These bedtime stories are the whimsical, made-up kind. Little scenes from dreamland to guide you there. There is no plot to follow, no sense to make of anything. Just a sequence of images from beyond the consciousness of day to help you let go and drift into dreamland. We have a friend who has been building a spaceship for 9 years. It is a rickety-looking contraption, and we are afraid of getting electrocuted just by looking at it. Our friend manages to get the ship into the air, but it does not go very high. Not into space, anyway. He asks if we would like to join him on his inaugural voyage. Where are you going, we want to know. He says he is going to meet the oppressed people. That doesn't sound like much fun, we say. That sounds more like a parable than a voyage. We are on an airplane. We are either flying to South America or to the future. We are not sure which. But the pilots have lost control, and now we are flying upside down through a city and barely missing the tall buildings. Somehow they manage to fly us out of the city, and we land safely on the water. We are not getting on that airplane again. There is a war on between the juice drinkers and the cloud hoppers. They are taking each other's jobs. Some of the men are dressing up as trees to try to throw the others off the trail. We are just trying not to get lost. Some people have to share their tents with other people. Because of the algorithms, we need to move to higher ground and bring the wild boys with us. Where is the special boy who falls into trances? He has been left behind. War is a terrible thing. There is a tall Sasquatch, or ogre, or fairy tale troll, hiding in the mountains. He is really scared. Everyone is looking for him. They want to put him in the museum. When we find him, we try to take pictures, but he does not show up on our screens. the more pictures we try to take, the more he fades, and eventually he floats up into the air and disappears entirely. We feel very disappointed and sad. We feel like we have lost something important and cherished. But we are not sure what we have lost. We are in Iceland again. We have been here before. We are traveling through a place called Gimli. We remember this town. There is a house that looks like a tall storybook drawing that leans over to one side. The storybook house is full of foreign students. They went through a rigorous application process to get here. But there is one woman who is being deported. We think she is from Brazil because she speaks Portuguese. But maybe she is from Portugal. Anyway, she is being deported because she brought food into her room. And it is not permitted. It seems a little harsh, don't you think? Everyone agrees it seems too harsh a punishment for bringing food into your room, especially given how difficult it was to get accepted in the first place. What is that in the sky? Look, out the window. Are those whales flying through the sky? No, someone said. They are blimps. The sky is full of blimps these days. We are in a beautiful place somewhere along the Arctic coast of Norway. There are jagged mountains plunging into pristine deep fjords. It is quite stunning. In the small village at the end of the fjord, there is an ancient stone building with a facade that sometimes looks like a woman's face. Now we can hear voices. Women's voices. A group of beautiful young women is making their way towards us. We all wave and laugh. They have a dog with them. The dog has glowing, intelligent eyes. There is something very otherworldly about this dog. There is a woman and her teenage sons sitting in the audience at a theater. They are the only ones there. The boys have built wooden rowboats. It is really impressive. The older brother is very protective of the younger brother. He doesn't want him to make the same mistakes that he did, and the mistakes of their father before them. So he is filling their days with productive hobbies, like building wooden rowboats. Then the mother heard the music start, and she wanted to go and dance on the stage. Go and dance with her, we said. We were preparing ourselves backstage because we were going to present an award to the younger boy in the presence of the queen. We were painting our teeth gold using a tiny palette knife. "Don't overdo it," someone said. The queen and her people walked by us, and they laughed at the ridiculous spectacle of our golden teeth. Then we followed the queen and her people out onto the stage. There was a surprising amount of snow, but we decided to drive anyway. "Be careful. It will be slippery." On the ramp to the bridge, there was an enormous pothole. The pothole was so big that we had to get out of the car and carry it for the rest of the way. As we were carrying the car, a woman strode up and started walking beside us. She looked like a woman who did a lot of hiking in mountains. She said that we had met once before on an island. We were all in rowboats back then. It was in another time and another place. "Oh yes," we said. "We remember you. You lived in that beautiful house down by the water, and she does look familiar. She is timelessly beautiful, a gumboot-wearing natural beauty. There is a deep calmness and kindness about her that is really appealing." "Do you still live there?" we ask. "In the house on the water." But we don't hear her response, because she became part of the surf in our memories as we spoke, and now we don't remember her. There are pigs foraging underwater. We didn't know that pigs could hold their breath for that long. What are they eating? They seem to be eating the carcass of something. And are those purple starfish? Is it true that the starfish have started to come back? That is a good sign. Have you heard about this group called the Women for Jesus? The Women for Jesus throw themselves naked into the river to drown for the sins of the world. Sometimes the river is full of hundreds of drowned women who have given it up for Jesus. The crows have been decorating the power lines with Christmas baubles again. An arrogant artist and his entourage are walking down the road wearing white and yellow flowing robes. Their sleeves are flapping in the wind. It almost looks as though they are about to take flight. Small wild things are whipping past us at such speed that we cannot quite see what they are. And now they are burning garbage in the village. People are wearing masks. It is very dark and smoky. Now we are on a train that is traveling far too fast. and it derails. We are all okay, but we are going to have to take buses the rest of the way. We are not sure where we are, and the local people are not helpful at all. In fact, they are quite sinister. We are going to have to find a place to sleep before it gets too dark. We still have one final leg of the journey, if we make it through the night. This is a dark and sinister place, and the locals seem rather aggressive. It is obvious that they do not want us here. We notice a lone wolf and her pup lurking in the shadows, but we don't tell anyone because we don't want them to get shot. There are also some giant iguanas wandering around just beyond the edge of the light. They are huge. They look more like colorful Chinese dragons than iguanas. They are easier to see when you don't look at them directly. Sometimes they follow us in the shadows, mimicking our every move, as though the shadows are shadow mirrors, reflecting our restless dragon selves back to us. A grandmother is concerned about her daughter-in-law and her grandchildren. Her daughter-in-law's name is Melancholia, and she is an alcoholic. There have been many messages about her posted in taxicabs. The relatives have come together to discuss what to do. She overhears them talking about her and takes off in her car. She is drunk, and she sideswipes a street lamp and almost loses a tire as she screeches away. Oh dear. Nobody knows what to do about Melancholia. A magical, colorful bird suddenly lands on a nearby rooftop. We forget everything when the bird turns up. The bird releases a smaller white bird, which flies away. The magical, colorful bird turns out to be a woman dressed up in a costume. We are surprised. She has come for the horseback riding. They are bringing the horses in now. A group of orphaned children were massacred and then plowed over by the government. They became orphans because of the death of their parents. We have heard this story before. The children were taken in but not cared for. No one cared for them at all, because they were other people's children. When some of them died, they were buried in unmarked soil. Some of them ran away. They were pursued in the rain-soaked night, but not for long. The ones that survived crawled on their bellies for a long way up an underground stream. The legend of the wolf is being played out in the sky. The sky wolf trails a lingering, shimmering essence, like the tail of a comet. Some of the sky wolves are wild and unpredictable. There is no sense in trying to speak dog to them. They will not understand. We are traveling in glass-bottomed boats, following a group of wild boys down the river. Thank you for listening. Sweet dreams.